Tanaim debate whether an aniva is kasher or not, whether you're chayv mishum kosher. And we paskin that it's mutter. We paskin that there is no issue to make an aniva on Shabbos. But the question is, what about if you make a aniva on top of a kesher? So the Beis Yosef quotes in Mordechai, who's Machmir, Kasva Mordechai, Daniva Sharia, El Shekasav Olavad, Shelo Yasa Kesher Lamata Min Haniva, Klal, El Yasa Shte Anivos Zu Al Zu. So you can't make a aniva on top of a kesher, kesher echad, which is l'chor what we do when we tie our shoes. When we tie our shoes, we make a kesher echad, a half knot. Now we put an aniva on top. If you want to try to make an aniva, I'll gabi aniva, so you could look at the video that Gabe sent. Anyhow, that is the machmir view of the Mordechai. However, the Darkei Moshe quotes that the agur is lenient. So what are the tzadim over here? What's a tzad to be machmir? L'chora, it's not because of the aniva, because the aniva itself we paskin the kesher. Rather, the pshat, the tzad to be machmir is because of the kesher below the aniva. Or even though it's only kesher achad, the aniva is what's holding the kesher achad in. In other words, because of the aniva, the kesher achad remains taut. It doesn't undo. And the tzad to be machmir, what the Mordechai holds, is that anytime you hold, you tie a single kesher, a half knot, even though the only reason why that's normally mutter is because a half knot has no kiyum, it'll undo very easily. But if you have something that keeps the half knot in, so then it's aser. At least that's the simple understanding of the chumrah of the Mordechai. So how do we paskin? The Ramah quotes, as I said, the view of the Agur and Sifhei, that's matir, but the Mishnah Berurah Chavtet quotes from Achronim that really you should be machmir unless it's Eno Shel Kayama. So everybody agrees that the way most of us tie our shoes, there's no problem because we tie our shoes in the morning and we untie them in the evening, and that's not an issue. But if you were to, you know, you're a lazy type of person, and instead of tying and untying your shoes every day, you know, you tie them every so often, and then you sort of slip it on and off. Well, I don't usually have tie shoes, but if I did have tie shoes, when I do have tie shoes, I do tie them every day. But
it takes so much more time.
Well, that's why I don't have tie shoes. Anyway, so, but if you were to have, if you were to have tie shoes, but only tie them occasionally, so that's when the Mishnah were saying that this is a problem, and we should be machmir on this shaila. Now, the truth is that there are various variations of this question. For example, one question is a aniva gabe kesher, like we said, the machlokas between the Mordechai and the Agur. But another similar type of question, which would be if you tie a single knot, a kesher echad or a half knot, out of a material that would not get undone, like metal, like maybe with a twist tie or something like that. In other words, what's the halacha if you tie a kesher echad? Normally kesher echad's mutter, but that's because it's going to undo. So you tie a kesher echad that's very strong, like with something, a type of substance that will stay in tight. Now, even if you're machmir on this shaila, the various poskim discuss exactly how, you know, what you'd have to be worried about, how far this goes. Would it even apply to a plastic bag with that would stay with the half knot, or no, that's still too loose? You can take a look at the Dirum note 39 that Rav Nissen Karelitz was mesupik about that. But before we get into the details, just conceptually, that is the second example of l'chora the same shaila, a half knot that's made from a material that would stick. And the third example is a case where you tied a half knot and then you tucked in the ends so that it doesn't unravel. In other words, you tied a single half knot, but then you took the ends and you tucked it back into itself, and that held it taut. Now, I thought these three shilas, and there are really many other examples of these shilas, but these three shilas are basically the same question. Again, they would certainly be mutter if you're going to, if they're not going to last for 24 hours, because they're not a kesher shel umnus. It's not a safe kesher shel umnus. Even a shel tegiborim would be makel here. But the question is, if they're going to last more than 24 hours, and certainly if they're going to last more than 7 days, what's the halacha? Now, again, the way I thought of this, all three of these shilas are the same shila. And if you follow the Mordechai, lahachmir, which we saw the Mishnah Berurah said you should do, then you should be machmir on all three. I saw that the Orach HaShabbos tries to be machalik, especially between the first example that we said, in aniva al gabei kesher, versus the latter two. Maybe an aniva al gabei kesher is worse because the aniva is like a kesher, and even though it's not a kesher, but it's sort of like a kesher, so therefore there's more of a tzad to be machmir. I had a very hard time understanding that chiluk. And I thought the pashup shot, all three of these questions are the same. The question basically is, do we say, in Lumdus, the question is, do we say that a kesher echad is not a kesher at all? And therefore, if a kesher echad is not a kesher at all, even if you somehow figure out a way to keep the kesher echad from falling apart, still it's mutter because it's not a kesher. So who cares that it lasts for a long time? It's a non-kesher that lasts a long time. Just like an aniva that lasts a long time is mutter, so to a kesher echad that lasts a long time is mutter. That's the tzad for the mekila. The tzad for the machmirin is no. That the only reason why a kesher echad is not a knot is because it's so easily undone. It gets undone. But if it's a type of kesher echad that's going to stay, either because you put an aniva on top of it, or because you tucked it in, or because it's made out of metal wire. But the point is, if it's a single kesher that's going to stay, so then it would be aser. So that's the chakira. The chakira is a kesher echad a non-kesher that's a tzad for the mekilim, or is a kesher echad a kesher that's just easily undone? So memela, if you cause it, you do it in a way that it's not undone easily, then it would be aser. That to me is this chakira. And there's our three nafkaminas to this chakira. Now, the Orach HaShabbos has a very interesting raya lahakel. Yeah, somebody had a question?
Yeah. Why wouldn't you, like, if lamaisa it works, like, let's say according to Moshe, the way he would define kishira, so then wouldn't it be pasha that you should be machmir in all of these cases?
Why don't you say the same thing for an aniva that works?
I hear. I don't know. Why wouldn't you say that?
The answer is an aniva isn't a kasher. And neither is this.
And you have to come on to, like, Lashon B'nei Adam or something in order to...
No, but you could argue that on technical grounds, you don't have to use Lashon B'nei Adam.
And like say that on an evil, like you could just pull it away or something.
Right, and a kesher is not really, kesher echad is not really wrapped. Oh, so in terms of the third question, which is the case where, again, you tied a half knot and then you tucked in the ends to prevent it from getting undone. So the Orach HaShabbos, if you want to look at it, it's on page Shin Lamed Aleph, Ha'arachach Aleph, brings a raya from the Gra to be makel. So I want to just look into this for a moment, and it might be helpful for you to pull up the Mar Makomos that I sent you, because I want to read some of these Makoros inside. Since I'm not sure about this, it's a very important question. We could try to learn it together. So these are the Makoros that I sent you on Kosher and Matir, if you want to pull it up. But the Gra says like this. It's in Tafresh Nun Aleph Sif Vav. And let's just give a little bit of a hakdama. There is a Machlokas Tanayim in Maseches Sukkah, whether Lulav Tzarech Eged or Lulav Ein Tzarech Eged. According to the way we paskin, Lulav Ein Tzarech Eged, which means that you don't have to be ma'aged your minim together. You could have your lulav and your hadassim and your avo separated. Though it's mitzvah min amuvchar, it's hiddur mitzvah to be ma'aged your lulav, but it's not ma'akev. As opposed to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda also loved tzarech eged, and therefore eged is ma'akev. Now the Gemara says like this: let's say hutter agdo biyantif, which means that your eged came undone, and it's yantif, so you can't tie it up again. What are you supposed to do? So the Gemara says, "Ogdo be'aguda shel yerek." What does that mean? Rashi says, "Yichroch ha'eged zaviv b'yitchov rosho b'toch ha'krach." So you sort of wrap it around and tuck it in, not with a knot. But you can't make a knot, as you would have probably done during the week. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, lulav tzarech eged, so you need a kesher gamor, so you don't really have an eged. But according to Chachamim, the way we paskin that lulav ein tzarech eged, so just because of hiddur mitzvah, so this is good enough, at least for yantif. Now, the Gemara also makes clear that, let's say, if you hold like Reb Meir, that it's mutar lasos aniva b'shabbos, so then you could also make an aniva over here. Now, the Gemara sounds like, well, let's say like this. What would the halacha be if you made a single kasher and then you tucked in the ends? Would that be mutar on yantif, or would that be asur on yantif? So, L'chora, this is a machlokas in the Mordechai. So you take a look at the Mordechai again. These are the Makora sheets that I sent you. It's Remez Tuf Shin Mem Ches in Meseches Sukha. Lulav mitzvah lo'agdo lo'agdo kasher. Kasav re'im, so he's quoting a Yireim. B'tzorech shiyogdenu beis ksharim zeh al zeh. So the eged of a lulav should be kasher al gabi kasher, during the week, that is. It's an interesting shayla. We'll see. The Gra actually thinks that you should follow the view of the Yireim. Is the way that most people do their lulav egeds, is that kesher gabi kesher? So I'm not sure it is. Basically, it goes around and around, and then you fold it over halfway, and then you go around and around, and then you tuck it in. I'm not sure that's a kesher gabi kesher. So could be that the better way to do your lulav eged is to do a clear-cut kesher gabi kesher. Anyway, so the Yireim says you should make it kesher gabe kesher. Detanya, hoter ogdo biyantif, ogdo bagudo shel yarek, veinu ogdo agad gamor, dasal ogdo biyantif, umukile alibid rabbanan, dein mitzal ogdo, al mishan zekhe levande. In other words, habachol, says the Yireim. The implication is during the yantif, so then you should do it kaguda shel yarek. But habachol, if it was during the weekday, yish logdo agad hanasar b'shabas biyantif. Really, even according to Chachamim, you should make it kesher gabe kesher. We already know that's the view of the Yireim, that the only time that kasher is asur, anytime you have a kasher, it'll be kasher. Dahavu shel kayama kedepirashti per klal gadol. So that's the view of the Yireim. According to the Yireim, on yantif, you have no choice. You can't make a kasher gamor, but bachol, you should make a kasher gamor. And that's true even for the Chachamim because of hiddur mitzvah. Good. So that's the Yireim. And then the Mordechai quotes the following from the Ravya. Ravya kasav, anu anan nihiginan bekesher shel lulav, gam bekesher shel tzitzis, likshur pam achas, vishuv misagel, vikorcho saviv, umutter kach, muhudak yafek, ilu kashru b'shnei roshe ha'eged shtei pamim. Our minhag is to make a kasher echad, and he says this is true for lulav and for tzitzis, interestingly enough, for lulav and for tzitzis, to make one kasher, and then to wrap it around. And because you make one kasher and then you wrap it around, so it's mehudak yafetz, like shteik sharim. So when the Rav Yos says this, is the Rav Yos saying this is our minhag on yantif? Or is this our minhag during the week? What's he saying? What's this Rav Yos saying? Is he saying our minhag is, I disagree with Yireim. The Yireim said during the week you should do a kasher gabi kasher. And Rav Yos saying, no, we don't do a kasher gabi kasher during the week. We do this funny type of half knot plus wrap around. That's what we do. Or is he saying even on Yontif, that this is mutter. So when I read this, I thought he meant during the week. In other words, anan heginan, meaning to say, our minhag is not to do a keshel gabi kasher like the Ireim said. No, during the week, we do this kasher echad and the wraparound, and that stays in nice and tight, and that's what we do during the week. Would the Rav Yah permit that on Yontif? I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe he would say it's usher, because like he said, this holds him so tight, it's like a kasher al gabi kasher. So, and the Rav Yah said, this is what we do for tzitzis also, interestingly enough. This is not the way we tie tzitzis. We tie tzitzis, at least during the week, with a kasher al gabi kasher. Again, maybe he's talking about a yantif. This is what our minhag is on yantif. So I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure what the Rav Yah meant. So if you look on your source sheets, I actually gave you the Rav Yah side, and you can look at it. I don't know if it's any clearer. I'll read you his lashon. The anan neginan belula v'gam b'kasher shel tzitzis lo koshran pam achas v'shuv na'agel v'karcho saviv saviv mitoch kach mehadko yafa kilu b'shnei roshe ha'agod kashrush de pa'amim. V'anan kaimalan daniva l'akshirahi lo linyan shabbos lo l'gavi lulav lihiyos kasher l'mitzvah min amovchar. In other words, mitzvah min amovchar is agreeing with the idea of the Ireim that you need a kesher for a mitzvah min amovchar, right? That's why aniva is not mitzvah min amovchar. So that's why, to me, sounded like the Rav Yah was talking about during the weekday, and he wouldn't permit doing this on Yontif. That's what I thought. In which case, we have no raya to bring any, there's no raya from here at all to anything related to Hilchos Shabbos or Hilchos Yontif.
If the Rav Yah meant during the week, then why wouldn't he just do a kesher gabi kesher? Meaning, if he's trying to chat the same mile
up. I don't know. Most people nowadays don't do a kesher gabi kesher for their eggheads. I don't know why. They just don't. I don't know. It's pretty.
I mean, then it's just like a milsa below time. We're just saying, like, he's just saying, no, the minhag is to do like this. Like,
yeah, and a hanami. That's the minhag. In other words, the Ireim said you have to make a kesher gabi kesher, and says the Rav Yah, no. Since this holds in just as tightly as a kesher gabi kesher, you could do it this way also. Now, again, I'm not sure you're wrong, Yoni. I'm not sure you're wrong, but I'm certainly not sure you're right either. And it's not, you know, and my raya, and it's not a raya, but one reason why I'm inclined towards my reading is because the Rav Yah makes clear that if he agrees that an aniva is not mitzvah min amovchar. In other words, you need something that's halachically a kesher to be mitzvah min amovchar. And this is halachically a kesher, he's telling you, because this sounds like he's saying this is mitzvah min amovchar. This is what we do. So, again, I'm not sure, but that's the way, again, that was my inclination in terms of how to read it. However, as I mentioned, the Orchos Shabbos takes a different track. The Orchos Shabbos says, no, based off of this Rav Yah, you see that it's mutter on Shabbos to make a kesher echad and then tuck in the ends. And he says this is also the view of the Gra. So let's take a look at that Gra and see again, is this so pashut? So the Gra is, it's on, as I said, Siman Tav Reish Nun Aleph, Sif Aleph. It's in my version at least, it's Sif Katan Vav. It's Dibur Maschil Yesha Kasvu. So let's go back to the Ramah. The Ramah writes that the minhag is like the Rav Yah, not like the Ireim. Now, from the Ramah, you get the impression that it is mutter to do this on Shabbos or Yontif. But the Ramah doesn't quote the seer of the Rav Yah. Listen to what the Ramah says. Again, the Shulchan Aruch is like this. Vim lo agdo bim odyom. Let's say you forgot to make your egged mi ba'odyom. Eaf shel agdo b'yantif. So you can't make the egged on Yontif. Bekesher Gamor, El Ogdo Be Aniva, you should do an Aniva, Hagah, that's what the Machaber says, Hagah, the Ramah says, Yeshikas Hulasos HaKesher B'derech Acher. There are those that suggest making the Kesher in a different way. Shekarchan Svivo Shlosha Minim, Eilu, you wrap it around these three Minim, Betochen Rosh HaKrach Toch HaAgul, and then you wrap wind around the bundle into the agul hakarach. In other words, again, you tuck it in. Now, the Ramah is talking about what's permissible on Yantif, and he is presumably quoting the Ravya. So, sounds like the Ramah is matir doing this on Yantif, against my reading of the Ravya. The only thing is that the Ramah does not give the tzir of the Ravya. The Ravya said you make a kesher achad and then you tuck it in. The Ramah seems to be describing tucking it in without making a kesher achad. So we don't know if the Ramah would be matir tucking it in with a kesher achad. Adarabah, maybe the reason why he changed from the tzir of the Ravya is because he wants to make it mutar on Yantif. Now, if that's true, though, it's strange, because where's the Ramah getting this from? Clearly, the Ramah is getting this from the Ravya, as the Magen Avraham points out. But all the Ramah seems to be mutar on Yantif lemaisis without a kesher. It's just tucking it in without a kesher. So this is strange. Where is the Ramah coming from? And the Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Yud Aleph notes this problem, and he notes that the Gra was also bothered by this problem. So let's look at the Gra. And I really think you could explain the Gra in one of two ways. Again, there's going to be the way the Orchel Shabbos reads the Gra, but I'm not 100% sure that's correct. So the Gra basically writes that it is mutter to do this on Yantif, and this is the first way. Let me make that clear. The first way to read the Gra, we can read it inside in a moment, but the first way to read the Gra is to say that the Gra is being matir even when you make kesher achad and then you tuck it in. And therefore, if that's the correct reading of the Ravya, that was Yoni's reading of the Ravya, that's the Orchel Shabbos' reading of the Ravya, then the Ravya is saying that bain during the week, bain on Shabbos or Yantif, you could do it the same way, which is to make a kesher achad and tuck it in. There's no difference, basically, between chol and yantif, according to Ravya. The Urayim is machalik, but not the Ravya. According to Ravya, since lulav lo tzarech eged, then you don't need an eged shechayalin alav b'shabbos. It's true, an aniva is invalid for mitzvah min amavchar, but that's not even a kesher. But this is a kesher, just a kesher that's mutter, and therefore, it's okay.
What does it do with the Gemara in Sukkah, though? The Gemara in Sukkah says you have to tie it to Yerek Havalim, that you have to do a different
thing. Yeah, well, the way this reading is saying that the Ravya came up with a better solution than the Gemara's solution. The Gemara just said you should do it Kaguda Shal Yerek, and Ravya came up with a better Chop. Unless he thinks that's what the Gemara means. Maybe he thinks that this is the way they used to tie an Aguda Shal Yerek, with one Kesher and then tucking it in. Could be that's the way he read the Gemara. And likewise, l'gabei tzitzis, l'chatchila, even without a second kesher, it's okay. As long as you have one kesher plus kricha. And even if you're going to say that's what the Ravya meant, and that's what the Gra means, it's still difficult to say that's what the Ramah meant, because the Ramah didn't mention anything about kesher. But that's one way to read the Gra. Now, I should point out that the Gra is probably l'shitaso here. Because if you remember the Gra on Shin Yud Zayin Sif Hei, on that which the Ramah permitted in Aniva Agabe Kesher, in other words, not like the Mordechai, like the Agur, so the Gra writes, that's because Kesher Echad is garnished. Kesher Echad is nothing. So the Kula of the Gra here, Bedasa Ramah, is l'shitaso. It's Ramah l'shitaso. The Ramah was make Shin Yud Zayin Hey, like the Aguda against the Mordechai. And here, the Ramah is Mekel like the Ravya. Now, if that's the Pshat in the Gra, then it's also not so Pasha to Paskin this way. First of all, because, as we saw, the Mishnah Berurah says you shouldn't really follow that Ramah and the Aguda. You should be Choshish for the Mordechai. And second of all, because the Ramah himself, even over here in Hilchos Sukkah, isn't necessarily Mako, because he didn't mention anything about Kesher Echad. So I would have thought that according to what the Mishnah Berurah Paskins and Shin Yud Zayin Sif Katan Chaf Tes, you should be Machmir here. Nevertheless, the Aruch HaShabbos says, A, the Gra is Mekel. B, you could paskin l'hakel. Aye, but didn't we say that the Mishnah Brura is machmir by an Aniva Gavi Kasher? No, Aniva Gavi Kasher is worse, because even though an Aniva isn't a Kasher, but it's like a Kasher. So when it's a quasi Kasher, that's Mekayim a Kasher, that's worse than when you have it tucked in to be Mekayim the Kasher. But to me, that's a very big Chiddush. Number one, I don't think that's what the Ravya is saying. I'm not even sure that's what the Gra is saying. And even if that's what the Gra is saying, it's l'chora not what the Ramah is saying, because the Ramah didn't mention anything about Kasher. And even if that's what the Ramah is saying, it's not clear that the Mishnah Brura should be Mekel, because the Mishnah Brura thought that we shouldn't paskin like the Aguda, we should paskin like the Mordechai. And moreover, there are many Achronim that are machmir on the Shaila l'chora. If you look at the Bikur Yantif, which is quoted by the Mishnah Brura, and others, they say that the only time this is Matran Yantif is without a Kasher, that they read the Ramah Kepshuto, not like the Gra is reading the Ramah. So this Kula that the Aruch HaShabbos says based off of the Gra is not so clear at all to me. Now, are there any other Rayas for this? So the Gra brings a Raya from Rashi on Shabbos, Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, Dibra Maschil Kricha. L'chora, that's, if you follow the Havana of Rashi over there, what it's saying is that you're over on Kilayim, even though there aren't two Ksharim, because to be violation of Kilayim, all you needed to be is Miskayim. But to be in violation of Shabbos, you need a Kesher Gamor. And therefore, it's a violation of Kilayim, it's not a violation of Shabbos. Take a look at the Shnos Eliyahu over there. I think that's what he's getting at. I sent it to you in Mirkoros as well. So the Gra, though, in Hilchos Lulav is Misayim, that even though the Ramah writes that we're Nogin L'Hakal K'Rav Yah, the Urayim disagrees. And during the week, you should follow the Urayim, like I said before. So according to the Gra, during the week, you should dafka be machmir that your Eged Shalulav is Kesher El Gabe Kesher, which again, I'm not sure is the way that most people do it. So as I said, the Aruch HaShabbos is Mekel. I didn't think it's so pasha to be Mekel. Again, maybe you could be somech on the Aruch HaShabbos if anyway there are other tzadim to be Mekel, like we'll see in a moment when we get to Galila Sefer Torah. For example, anyway, you're going to undo it in less than a week. If you're going to undo it in less than a week, then to be somech on the Aruch HaShabbos isn't such a big deal, because anyway, we said that the Mishnah Brura writes that Mekel Red didn't we follow, that the Kesher Beinoni, the medium term knot, is 1 week, and we're only machmir for 1 day, b'toiras chumrah. Okay, so that is the first topic I wanted to discuss with you today. The second topic is, generally speaking, relating to Galila. Now, the truth is this Shaila is not as common as it once was. When I was growing up, back in the Stone Ages, the gartel on almost all the Sifrei Torah had to be tied to clothes. Nowadays, they're Velcro, or more likely, they have hooks. But in those days, you actually used to have
to tie. Is Velcro mutter?
We'll talk about that when we do Tofer. But yes, I think it's okay. So, we'll talk about it now. Let's talk about the tying first. So we have this Shaila of, could you tie, did you do Galila? Now, why is it a Shaila? Because we saw the Mishnah Brura writes that anytime you're going to tie your shoes and you're not going to untie them that day, you're not going to untie them, let's say, within 24 hours, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't make a Aniva Al-Gabe Kesher. So what happens when you do a Galila? Do Galila Chachris. So fine, they'll undo it for Mincha. But when you do Galila Mincha, they're not going to undo it till Monday. And even worse, a lot of times, they're not going to undo it till the next Shabbos, because you know, a lot of times the Sifrei Torah that are used on Shabbos are only used on Shabbos. They use the Sefer Torah in the Beis Medrash for the weekday and the one in the main sanctuary for Shabbos. And what if it's the Sefer Torah that's used for Rosh Chodesh? So then... It's not going to be another month before it's untied. Many shuls have a sefer Torah that they just keep at Rosh Chodesh and the like. So therefore, there are a number of poskim that are machmir. They say that if you're going to do glila on such a sefer Torah, you should just tie a half knot. But you shouldn't tie an aniv al gabi kesher. You can take a look at Dirshu note 36 that quotes this from a number of achronim, including Rav Scheinberg and Rav Nissen Karelitz and others. Others, though, are lenient. The Ksos HaShulchan, Shlomo Zalman, Rav Elyashiv, all cited there in the Dirshu note. So what are the tzadim to be made? Well, there are a number of tzadim. First of all, like we said, usually it's not going to last for more than a week. It might last for more than a day, but it won't last for more than a week. And as we saw, the Mishnah Berurah said, Mikra din wheelie, we paskin, that up to a week is okay. Number two is even if we're going to be machmir for one day, but maybe we paskin like the Rambam, who paskins like the Agur, and that's the Pashtus, the Psak of the Gra, that a aniva al gabe kesher is nothing. So there's like a sveik sveika. Plus, anyway, we're dealing with the kesher d'rabanan, and as we saw, that we're matir kesher d'rabanan b'machol mitzvah, and some say that this is considered machol mitzvah. So based off of these tzadim, there is makom to be made. As I said, usually nowadays, this shaila, it doesn't come up so much. You know, if it was like a Rosh Chodesh Sefer Torah, maybe it would be better to try to be machmir. So usually one knot won't work, but you could try doing the tuck-in thing of the Orcho Shabbos if you want. Another, then you have the Rav Yaz understood by the Gra as another sniff.
It happens to be that now that Rebbe mentioned this, although the base medrash is locked, some of us keep this metzias dear to our heart. But the Nevi'im Malachim in the Kalach base medrash, which is used, and Malachim doesn't get lain that often. It's like,
right?
Yeah, it's just is. I'm pretty sure we usually do an aniv al gabi kesher. So I don't know. Okay. Maybe we'll figure out another
issue. Dr. Strach did it, not you, right?
No. I usually do it. So he makes sure that the Yatzei Chaim are tight, and I tie. Anyway, yeah. Okay.
Okay, so maybe it makes sense to do it. See if it'll work with the Orcho Shabbos way. Okay. The next Shiloh that comes up that I want to talk about with you today is a very common question, and we're gonna. It's a knot that will last or might last longer than the permissible period, but there's no intention for it to last so long per se. Now we'll give two examples of this. We'll give one example for kosher and one example for matir. These two questions, l'chora, are the same question. I'm not sure if there's a chiluk. Tell me if you think there's a chiluk between these two questions. So the first example, the question is again, I tie a knot that's probably going to last forever, but I don't care if it lasts forever. I only need it to last for a short period of time. So the classical example of this is your garbage bag, right? You want to tie your garbage bag before you throw out your garbage. And you, let's say you want to do a kesher. So do you have to worry that this kesher is going to last forever? And let's say you even do a kesher, an aniv al gabi kesher. So that too would be a problem because the Mishnah Berurah says a long-term aniv al gabi kesher is a problem. So during the week, you probably do a kesher al gabi kesher. So Shabbos, you say, okay, I'll just do an aniv al gabi kesher. Well, is that permissible? After all, the Mishnah Berurah says we don't allow aniv al gabi keshers that are going to last for a long time. And who this thing is going to last lilam vayed? Right? It's, you know, it takes 300,000 years for plastic to decompose. It's going to go, end up in the landfill, and just going to be sitting there. Now, by the way, we should note that a similar question arises in the Malach of Tofer. For example, let's say you seal your dirty diaper before throwing it out. The minhag is that after you change a dirty diaper, you don't want the tzoa to get all over the place. So you take it and you use those tabs to seal it tight. Now, again, that's going to last forever. Now, I'm assuming for a moment like the Mekilim, Rabbeinu Yoel and the Mekilim, that Tofer Shena Shel Chayam is also Mutter. But taking that for granted, so there you have the same question for kosher and Tofer.
Rav Shlomo is Matir for a totally different reason, by Tzvira, by
Okay, Bezus Hashem, we'll get there. Let's now turn to the same question with respect to Matir. So, can I untie a knot that may have been around for more than a week, but it didn't have to have been that way? In other words, the tire, the person who tied the knot, didn't intend for this to last for more than a week, per se. He just intended it for it to last as long as necessary. Let's say the knot on a bakery box or something like that. So the person who tied that knot, how long? It might have been 2 weeks or 3 weeks, might have been 2 days. When the person tied it, he just tied it as long as it was needed. So am I allowed to untie such a knot? Or again, a similar question with respect to Korea. Opening the diaper tab, this we talked about before, that may have been sealed for 2 months in the factory. I don't know. They probably made this diaper. It could have been 2 or 3 months ago. But when they made it, they didn't have intention for it to last 3 months. They just had an intention for it to last as long as needed. So there we have the same question for kosher, matir, tofer, and korea. So what rayos do we have for this? So let's go back first to the kosher question. So there's actually another raya from that Gemara in Sukkah, Lamed Gimel Mabes, that we just talked about before. Remember, the Gemara in Lamed Gimel Mabes in Sukkah said that Hoter Agdo B'Yom Tov, so you should be Ogdo Be'aguda Shel Yarek, so that you avoid making a kasher. What's wrong with making a kasher as you would during the week? So Rashi writes, the lo yikshor shnei haroshim ke'achad, kesharek sharim, the kasher shel kayama me'avos melachos hu, v'zeh shel kayama hu, she'eno choshesh lahatira lo'olamis. Says Rashi, this is a kasher shel kayama. Why? When are you going to undo your eged, right? You know, usually every year I burn my eged at the burning of the chametz. This year in the stomach, I don't know. We'll have to save it for next year.
Schefter says you should grind it up and flush it down your toilet.
Okay. I don't recommend you do that at home. Try to flush your eged down your toilet.
He said it for food, but go ahead then.
Yeah, that's a different story. Right? So when you tie your eged for your lulav, how long do you want it to last? Whatever it is, a week, 3 days, 4 days, it depends when it fell apart, right? If my eged fell apart on the fourth day of Yontif, so I want it to last for 3 more days. If it fell apart on the first day of Yontif, I want it to last for 7 days. That's it. But Rashi says this is a kesher del reis, it's a kesher olamis. I don't care that this kesher lasts for more than 7 days. I would be very happy if this kesher came apart after 7 days, or if it was untied after 7 days. I couldn't care less that it lasts more than 7 days. Nevertheless, it is going to last. Nobody's going to untie it, right? So since nobody's going to untie it, practically speaking, it is a kasher shel kayama. So Rashi in Sukkah seems to be machmir neshayla. Rashi in Sukkah seems to be telling you that if lemaisa, the kasher is going to last, even though you have no interest for it lasting, it is chayav. That is Rashi. Is there any way to get out of this raya? So it could be that the Rambam disagrees with Rashi. This is a bit of a pilpul that the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa quotes from the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer notes that the Rambam does not paskin this din, that if you make an eged, you're chayav. Now, I thought that's probably just because we paskin lulav ein tzarich eged, so the halacha was really only needed to be stated for Reb Yehuda. But, okay, Chassam Sofer is probably the shayla. And also, again, should have said that if you made a lulav with an eged, because, you know, especially if you don't look at it's an afkamina, that you're chayat. So why did the Rambam leave it out? So the Rambam, the Chassam Sofer says like this, that it was only Reb Yehuda who held that if you made an Eged Lulav on Yantif, you would be Chayev. Why? For another sheet of Reb Yehuda. Remember, Reb Yehuda holds that Lulav Yavesh is okay. And not only that, but Hayumarishin Lulaveyan Livnehem. In the olden days, that they, according to Reb Yehuda, why would you buy a new Lulav every year? It's so expensive. Just use the same Lulav. You and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, right? No need to ever buy a new Lulav. That was Reb Yehuda's practice. Okay, so what? So for Reb Yehuda, when you tied a kasher for the Eged, it would taka be a kasher shel kayama. It was tied with the intention to last forever. But l'didan, we paskin lulav yavesh, is possible that a lulav couldn't be used from year to year. The Gemara tells a story about a certain place where they used them from year to year. That was because they couldn't get a kosher lulav. Zechel mitzvah, they used to do this. There's a shiloh where they make a brach on that. That shiloh, by the way, that sugya, is very relevant for some of the zechel mitzvah shilohs that are coming up this year with Corona, but that's for another time. Anyway, the point is that according to Rabbanan, when they made their lulav, it was a short-term knot. They would be very happy if it would come out after a week. So, says the Chassam Sofer, the Rambam disagrees with Rashi, and according to the Rambam in a Chinami, if you were to tie it, and you only needed to be tied for 6 days or seven, or 5 days or 25 days or 85 days, but, well, that gets back to that side. Let's say 25 days, so you'd be potter. Right? That's the view of the Rambam. Okay. So we have a Mefurish Rashi that's Machmir, and a Pilpul in the Rambam that's possibly Poter, though it's not, it's hard to bring too much of a Raya from there, because it's not at all explicit. Are there any other Rayos to be Makel on this Shaila? So the Maril Diskin had a very interesting raya from Yoma, Daf Samach Zayin, Amud Aleph. What does the Gemara say in Yoma? Why would that be relevant? The Gemara over there says that they were misaking to tie a knot between the horns of the Seir HaMishtaleach. And that way, when it would it would change from red to white, and the Jewish people would see they're forgiven, and everybody would be happy. That's what they used to do. And they would tie it on Yantif, right? They couldn't tie it before Yantif because they didn't know which one was the Seir Mishtaleach before Yantif. They wouldn't know which one is the Seir Mishtaleach until Yantif. So so they would tie this on Yantif. Now, why would that be permissible? You don't need to do this. This is a takana. So the answer is, must be because it was a kasher shein shel kayama. But 1 second, who's going to untie it? Must be that if you tie a knot, that for all intents and purposes, it's just going to be a short-term knot, that is permissible. That's not considered a kasher shel kayama. That is what the Maril Diskin said, and if that's the case, then there's a raya against Rashi, against Rashi. So there are two tzadim to be made. Both of these tzadim, right, one is the Chassam Sofer's Pilpul and the Rambam, and one is the Maril Diskin's Pilpul in the Gemara Yuma. Both of those rayas, though, Lahakel, seem to be a lot weaker than the raya Lahachmir. Maril Diskin's raya is not the biggest raya in the world. First of all, maybe when it was falling down the mountain, it came apart, the knot. After all, Evarim, you know, Nisparkway, Evarim, the whole thing fell apart. Maybe the knot came undone. Or maybe they tied the knot in a way that wasn't Chayev Mishum Kosher. We know there are lots of ways to tie a knot on Shabbos that wasn't Chayev Mishum Kosher. Maybe it was an aniva. Maybe they did that funny thing where they did a half knot and they tucked it in. Who knows? So the Rayos Lahakel don't seem to be as strong as the Raya Lahachmir. Now, regarding the second question, which was Matir, so this seems to actually be a Machlokas. And here we go in from the Gemaras and Rishonim to the Achronim. This seems to be a machlokas between the Taz and the Levush in Sif Gimel over here. Again, what does it say in Sif Gimel? Matirin beis hatzavar, mikesher shekashru koveis, she'eno kesher shel kayama. So the beis hatzavar I'm not exactly sure, but it sounds to me like they used to have a, they used to wear polo shirts. They weren't so yeshivish in the olden days. And the kovsin would tie up the polo shirts to keep them together, I guess, to keep the shirt from unraveling while it was being laundered or to help it keep its shape. So the kovsin, the launderers, would tie up the beis hatzavar, and you're allowed to untie that knot. In other words, you put on a fresh shirt Shabbos morning, but the kovsin had tied it up. That's okay, because it's not a kashash shal kayama. So if you look at the Taz and the Mishnah Berurah, I'll read you what the Mishnah Berurah says. This is Mishnah Berurah Shin Yab Zayin Sif Katam Chaf Aleph, who quotes a machlokas between the Levush and the Taz. And what basically emerges is that, according to the Levush, if it's not Asui Liskayim, Rak Achi Kachenu Abalabayas Leveso, even if that's a long time, it's going to be Mutter. In other words, the Levush seems to be adopting the lenient position over here. Could be that I laundered this shirt 3 weeks ago, and now it's been 21 days, 22 days, since the launderer tied this knot. Still, it's mutter for me to untie. Why? Because when the koveis tied the knot, he just had in mind that it should remain tied, achi kachanu balabayas. Once the balabayas picked up his laundry from the laundromat, then he's happy for the knot to get undone. In other words, the Levush seems to be saying that anytime there's no intention for the knot to be long-lasting, it just should be tied until necessary, then it's going to be mutter. The Taz seems to be machmir on the Shaila. Taz says, no, we follow the regular dinim of knots. So anything that's more than 7 days is aser, and l'chatchila, really, we would say anything more than 1 day is aser. So what are they arguing about? L'chora, they're arguing about this very question. They're arguing about this question, namely, the koveis has in mind for this to just last until you get it, and therefore we have the levush being makel on this shaila, whereas the Taz seems to be adapting the view of Rashi. If you look at the Rosh Shlomo Zalman Arbach, quote Nishmir Shabbos Kilchasa, Perk Tes Ha'ara Nun Hei, he is willing to, the Levush was only willing to be makel with a kesher chad pa'ami, and not a kesher that's regilos laso lakoshro. Now this also, by the way, we should say, relates back to that question we talked about before. When you have a kesher and you don't know how long it's going to last, and we saw machlokas in the Beis Yosef about that question. Now, is the lechora the Rashi in Sukkah is a kasha on the levush?
Oh no! Okay.
And even though Rashi is talking about nisar deraisa, it's going to be kind of olam, and the levush is only talking about nisar derabanan because anyway, it's only going to be at shiftechenu abal bayis. But lechora, it's the same shaila. It's the same shaila. Do you look at how long it's actually going to last, or do you look at how long you care for it to last? L'maisa, this is a machlokas aposkim, and I think there's makom to be machmir on this shaila. It's makom to be machmir. Usually, what we'll see in certain cases, as Aaron brought up in terms of before, there might be other tzadim to be mako. But generally speaking, perhaps one should be machmir on this. So it's easy enough when you take out your garbage to just tie kesher echad. Now, even though we said before, maybe there are some that are machmir for kesher echad in that case because it won't get undone that far. You don't have to be machmir. Similar types of questions.
Yeah. The Shulchan Aruch Harav, when he's explaining that kesher al gabi aniva heter, he explains that a kesher is nothing because it just unravels. So it's clear, according to the Shulchan Aruch Harav, that if you have kesher echad, that's not going to unravel, such as this garbage bag, so it's going to be prohibited on Shabbos.
Yeah, I don't think it's clear from the Shulchan Aruch Harav. What I disagree. Maybe a garbage bag is a very weak thing that would come apart with even very mild pressure, and it could be that he's not only makel when it unravels on its own. Anything that would easily come apart with even mild pressure is also going to be mutter.
It's going to be in my
garbage. You could be machmir on that case.
The garbage man?
No. In other words, I understand being machmir in the case for kesher echad, being machmir in a case where the kesher is made with wire. When you make it with wire, then really kesher echad is a very strong thing that won't get undone even with mild pressure, moderate pressure. When it comes to the garbage bag, where it won't become undone, it will become undone with moderate pressure. It might not. It might last forever because it's going straight from your house to the landfill. But lemaisa, moderate pressure would cause it to become undone. Then even a shulchan aruch.
So always whenever it's moderate pressure will cause it to be undone, even if it will be there forever, it's going to be permitted?
Yeah, because that's not a kesher. That's not a kesher. You could definitely make
that. It depends on our chakira, but I'm saying the machmer, the chakira, you would say even according to them, you would be...
I think even according to the machmer side of the chakira, you could argue that's mutter because it's so weak.
But I thought that was that sad, that a kesher echad... Oh, okay, fine.
No, the machmer on that kesher echad that will remain even with moderate pressure. Like when you use wire, or when you tuck in the edges, or when you put an aneva on top. Not something that would come apart on its own with moderate pressure. All right. Similar shaila comes up with the Band-Aids. Rosh Shlomo Zalman in Chela Gimel, Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, page Nun Ches, wanted to be machalek, because there's another tzad to be makel that hadbaka he shaleis hatzorach lo yad hadavek mechukal. So, all right, it's interesting tzad. Maybe we'll come back to it when we do a tofer. Okay. Another thing I think that might make it a little more kal in the garbage bag shiloh, going back to Aaron's point, is that lemaisa, I do actually think it gets undone very frequently. Nobody unties it, but when they take your garbage bag and they put it in a garbage truck and then they compress it, when it's getting pushed down, certainly if you only put a half knot in, I think very frequently it will get undone. Okay, we're running out of time.
But it could be another 4 or 5 days before, so you would have to rely
on it. Okay, so it's still mechter mikaradin.
Well, maybe with coronavirus, you'll have to wait 2 weeks before it gets undone, and then you might have a shot.
No, they're still picking up the garbage twice a week, and in the city more frequently. All right, let's talk a little bit about matir very quickly. Matir, where was it in the Mishkan? So the Gemara asked Shiloh where it was kosher in the Mishkan. Says Yesedo Sa'olim, Abai says, what do you mean? That's kosher mas la'atir, as we discussed. So where was kosher? Abai said, Orge Yerio, Shenitzka la'anima. What about matir? So the Gemara says, maybe it's imis ramile treit chute, kitri badi adade, shari chad, v'katar chad. The Gemara says, no, you wouldn't do that for high quality fabric. So where do you have that? Elamarava, Vitam Rabbi Eloi, Shekin Sadech, Ilazim Koshrin, Umatirin. So you had Matir with the nets, the fishermen's nets. And we have that by, that might also be the source of kosher. You see an interesting thing. I don't know. I wonder, just struck me now. I didn't think about this until just now. But L'chaira, that's a kasha. I wonder if the Yerushalmi could also hold in that. If you remember, back in the olden days when we were doing Meleches Kotzer, so we saw that the Yerushalmi held that fishing is not a violation of tzad, but fishing was a violation of Oker Davar Migidulo, a violation of Kotzer. And why wasn't it tzad? So at least the way some of the Achronim explained that Yerushalmi was because there was no tzeda in the Mishkan when they built the Mishkan. Why? They didn't go fishing. Why not? So there's one day in Yerushalmi that says tzeda isn't even a malach at all. And the reason is because they didn't go fishing when they built the Mishkan. Because where were they going to go fishing? They were in the middle of the desert. And therefore, there was no tzeda Al Hatzad that the Tachash was a special animal that came to them. Anyway, one way or the
what
other.
What about Zorei Kotzer? They had the same Shaila. Ven Huadin.
No, but if, it's an interesting Shaila. Yeah, that they could have planted in the desert. They had water, so they could have planted their own stuff. But there was no Tzeda. Anyway, but according to the Bavli, according to the Rava's Maskana, at the very least, they used to do Tzeda with it comes to the Chilasa. Anyway, back to here. So generally speaking, whatever you are allowed to be kosher, you're allowed to be matir as a company. And whatever you're not allowed... Okay, guys, you have to be quiet if you're going to stay, okay? Whatever you're not allowed to be kosher, you're not allowed to be matir. So if tying it would be nisur d'oraisa, then untying it would be nisur d'rabanan. And if tying it would be an isur d'rabanan, then untying it would be an isur d'rabanan. The Mishnah Berurah writes in Sif Katan Zayin that if it's mutter to be matir or kesher, it's also mutter to be menatek if you need to. In other words, let's say I can't untie the knot, so I could cut it, I could break the knot. But what you see from that Mishnah Berurah L'chora is that if it's usur to be matir the knot, it's also usur to be menatek the knot. Now, why would that be? Maybe he holds that the malach of matir isn't untying as much as being misalek or being mevatel the kesher. Now, guys, you're getting bored. This is so boring, right? No, you want to stay? Oh, man. All right. At least you get to look at them. They're very cute. So the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, so that's what it sounds like from the Mishnah Berurah. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, which is quoted in the Dirshu note 10 over there, writes that Rosh Shlomo Zalman held that it's mutter if it's derech kilkul and your object is to get to the thing that you want. Lamashal. Let's say I bought a cake from the bakery and they tied a knot on this cake. So now, let's assume it's a kesher, I've got to be a kesher. So I would not be allowed to untie this knot. Because we're machmir for the shilting yiborim. You can't tie a kesher gabi kesher. You can't untie a kesher gabi kesher. So memela, it would be aser for me to cut that knot open. But that's what it sounds like from the Mishnah Berurah. But Shlomo Zalman Orbach said, no, of course not. If your goal is to get to the food, then it's mutter. This is very similar to a heter that we're going to see when we do Korea, it's mutter lekroa or shalgavi achavis, and the whole sugya and the gemara by choslos and the like. So if your goal is to get to the food, then it is okay. Now the Mishnah Berurah says something interesting, though. You know the, yes.
What difference does it make that you're trying to get to the food? Like, is that not tzrich legufa? And like, Imkain, what would be the tzrich legufa?
Well, let's wait till we learn that. It's a very good question. It's a very good question. And the truth is, it could even be that the Mishnah Berurah denies that kula. There's an interesting Beis Yosef who says it's like cracking a nut. But as I said, that's a complex kula that is debated. So let's wait till we get to the sugya of Korea, where that really comes up, and then we'll see. I'm just noting it now because I don't want you to get the impression that you can't have your cake on Shabbos.
You can eat it too, I guess.
It might sound that way.
Then well, you would have to rely on the you would have to rely on the taz for the eating of the letters.
The letters. Okay, good. Fine. Now, the Mishnah Berurah writes something interesting, which is even though I said you're allowed to cut the knot open. Okay. Well, let's see if we can play with Ima. Okay. Sarah? Kelly and Moshe have been visiting me for a while, but now they're leaving. Okay. Thank you. See you later.
This one when they were in Washington. Did they exist when you were in Washington Heights last year? Or they're...
Yes. They don't sprout up that quickly. Okay. So even though the Mishnah Berurah says that it's mutter to be menatek the kesher, they just wanted to come to share. Even though the Mishnah Brura, you can leave her if she's dead. Even though the Mishnah Brura says it's mutter to be menatek the kasher, you shouldn't do it b'fnei am haaretz. Now, why not? If this is mutter, why can't I do it b'fnei am haaretz? And this is coming from the Beis Yosef, as you saw. L'chora, it's because if you do it b'fnei am haaretz, they will learn an inappropriate leniency. What do I mean to say? You're allowed to untie a kasher that's a short-term knot b'fnei am haaretz. Why? Because the am haaretz will understand that this is a short-term knot, and they won't extrapolate from the fact that you're allowed to untie a short-term knot that you'd be allowed to untie a long-term knot. But over here, when they see you breaking the knot, they're not going to think, oh, the reason why it's mutter to break the knot is because it's short-term. They'll think that the reason why you're allowed to break the knot is because there's nothing wrong with breaking the knot. And therefore, they might extrapolate that you could break a long-term knot. Or the way the Maftas HaShekel, Sifkat and Yudalev puts it, is a little different, that if you're, it's mutter to be menatek b'fnei am haaretz, sometimes breaking a knot could be a iser of tikkun mana. So the point is that that there's a concern that if you do this b'fnei am haaretz, they'll extrapolate the wrong halacha. And we know that a person always has to be careful when doing things that are mutter, that they don't do it in a way that onlookers will deduce the wrong halacha and come to do an aveira. Now, a very interesting question that we're going to discuss more extensively, actually, when we do Korea, but we'll bring it up quickly here, is the question of whether you could be chayev for matir if it's not amanas lekshor. So what's the halacha? In other words, do you dafka need kesher amanas lahadir or no? Now, if you look at the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, going back to our favorite Mishnah of the Lamed Tes Melachos, so you'll notice that for some of the, we could call them destructive melachos, like korea or mochek or matir, so then we have the almanas, and sometimes we don't. So, for example, it says, Hakosher v'amatir, so it doesn't say matir almanas lekshur, but it says, Hatofer shtei tfiros, hakorei almanas litvor, shtei tfiros. So by korea, it does mention that. And then by mochek, it also says hamochek amanas lichdos de osios. By soser, it doesn't say that. It says abone vasoser, but it doesn't say vasoser amanas livnos. And likewise by mechabe. So the question is that dafka? Do all of them need amanas? Do none of them really need amanas? So this is discussed in Tosfos on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. He asked this question, what's halacha if you're matir shalomanas lekshor? So Tosfos tries to say that this might be totally in a machlokes rishonim, which is based off of the Gemara in Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, by where there was kshira b'mishkan. The havamina of the Gemara was that there's kosher matir b'mishkan by the yerios. That if they made like a mistake in the weaving of the arios, so then they would be kosher and matir. And Tosfos says no, he doesn't think that's the pshat in the Gemara, and therefore he's, well, the Gemara in the end says we're talking about the making of the fishing nets anyway. But what's the havamina? So Rashi says that the havamina was that where was the matir? When they would be matir kasher, where they made this mistake, and they would sort of leave it like that. So if that's true, then it turns out that you could be chayev for matir, shelo almanas lekshor, at the very least, according to Rashi. Now, the Rambam might also be of that view, because the Rambam, by posel chavalim, by making ropes, he says that if you undo the rope, you could be chayav mishum matir. And he doesn't say, I believe, that it's only if it's almanas likshur, almanas to make the rope again. Tosos over there, however, quotes from Rabbeinu Hananu. He explains the Gemara by Urios a little differently, based off of the Yerushalmi. And according to the way Tosus reads that Gemara and the way the Rosh reads that Gemara, you could be chayav, even if it's not almanas likshur. So if that's true, so then we have here a machlokas about whether you need it to be almanas likshur or you don't need it to be almanas likshur. That's a simple reading of Tosfos. But the Bir Halacha says like this. The Bir Halacha says that the truth is everybody agrees to some degree. What do I mean to say? The Bir Halacha, really, if you want to appreciate what he says over here by Matir, you have to look at what he says by Korea. We're going to get to that when we do Korea. But the Bir Halacha argues that even though the Gemara, the Mishnah, says that Korea is only chayev if it's almanas lit for, you don't really need it to be almanas lit for. And any time it's done in a way that's misakein, if it's not almanas lit for, you're chayev. And he proves this from the Rambam, maybe the Gemara, by Korea b'chamaso. The Rambam says, if you're Korea b'chamaso, you're chayev because you're meshakeches. You like, it's a cathartic experience. You get rid of your anger. Now over there, it's not almanas lit for, and still you're chayev. The Bir Halacha notes that there are some Rishonim that are against him, like the Ritva, the Ramban. He says, they're a das yachad. And then he notes that the Beis Yosef's against him, but he argues the Beis Yosef was chozer from Meshita and the Shulchan Aruch. So he has a whole arichos over there. And Lashitaso over here as well, he says that if it's misakein, even if it's not almanas likshur, you would be chayev. And even though, again, Tosfos and the Rush over here say that you're only going to be chayev if it's matir almanas likshur, but Rashi disagrees, he says, and he thinks that the Rambam disagrees by making the ropes, and he thinks that the Rayos from the Rishonim by Korea are relevant, and therefore Lamaisa, he thinks, the Mishnah Berurah thinks, that you it is an Isser Deraisa, or certainly a Shash Deraisa, if you're Matir, even if it's Shalo Almanas Likshur. Obviously, even though some of his Rayos are questionable, it's at the very least a Machlokas Rishonim, so certainly you would not be allowed to do this. And it would be at the very least a Safek Chiyuv Chatas. Okay, so that brings us to a conclusion of kosher and matir. So now we have to ask the shaila of what our plans are next. So if you noticed in the WhatsApp group, I sent you
the recording has stopped.
I sent you.